Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. We see you out there. We appreciate the company. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're here to have some fun over the next couple of hours, get into some good stuff. We got a couple of great things lined up for you. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. Going to dive into that one. We have Guinness-flavored ice cream. We will discuss. We will talk about that. We've got people. How many people like and dislike kiss cams? we will get into that a little bit later too. Also got a fun one here, although I don't know, a little look behind the curtain, everybody. I usually prep these shows and put them together at night. I'm gonna stop doing that. I think I'm going to stop doing that because I've noticed something that I'm doing to my night self is doing to my morning self. And now I've done it to Melissa, too, because I have a list of the trickiest words to pronounce. And nobody should have to do that before noon. Like, before noon, right? I mean, you should have to. Well, we'll do that a little bit later. We'll get into that one. That's going to be fun.
Only you, James.
We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour with some entertainment news we'll get into, including some local theater I want to talk about with you, Melissa. Mm-hmm. I'll get into all of that. And before we wrap up the day, how many Americans have been to the beach in the past decade? Get into kind of that. Got some good stories of the day. Got our schedule as well. We want to get into and all those things. But we start with where a lot of you might be listening to us right now, your vehicle. Our vehicle, or for many of us, our second home, where we camp out, we live, we throw things in there. Whether it is clean or not, it is ours. And there's an interesting relationship between person and vehicle. Yes. Unlike, I think it's maybe the most unique relationship we have with inanimate objects. I'm not talking about when we're little and a stuffed animal or something like that. The adult version of the stuffed animal is our vehicle. It's close to it. We name it. we take care of it. We care about it. We talk to it. We spend how much time with our vehicle? It's interesting. So all that said, it doesn't seem very far-fetched that we would give it a name.
Name all my vehicles.
There's an old Italian phrase that when you don't know what else to say, give it a name. Give it a name. You know, what are you going to do? Give it a name. It's similar to me to that, where we name our vehicles. Now, I've had a handful of vehicles in my life, but I didn't start naming them until I got a Jeep. And I did it just because I realized, you know, I've never done this. My sister brought it up. She thought it would be a fun thing. And I really enjoyed it. I liked having a name for my vehicle. I'd never done it before. Mm-hmm. I'd always wanted a Jeep, too. And so when I finally got a Jeep, I was like, it's blue, it's quiet, it makes me happy. That's Maggie Simpson. I'm going to call it Maggie. That's what I'm going to do. And then I get pretty much the same vehicle just a couple of years later, and I just named him Blue. But that was because of my sister, one of her favorite characters, Blue from... A great show, Foster's Home for Imaginary Animals, or Children, or something like that. Okay. So I don't know. That's where it came from for me. I had never done it before. You know, I thought I'd be fun. Melissa, you've done this a little bit, too.
Yes, I have. My first vehicle I purchased for myself was also a Jeep. It was a green Jeep Cherokee Sport. I named it Humberdink.
Such a great name.
Yeah.
Such a great,
Jeep. It was a great Jeep.
I love that.
And we were through a lot together. And then I purchased my grandpa's Jeep, which was pretty much a duplicate of mine. In fact, it carbon copy. But the air conditioning worked, which was cool.
Yeah.
and naturally I named that one Pappy. But it was again a green Jeep Cherokee Sport.
That's great.
Yeah. They were great vehicles. I liked them. I enjoyed them. And I've named every vehicle since. My first Subaru was Francis.
That's a good one. Fanny. Mm-hmm. You're good at this. I like this. You're good at it.
And my current Subaru is named Cleopatra.
Oh, nice. Dang.
Cleo. Yeah.
Okay. We want to hear from you. What have you named your vehicle? 715-424-2600. You can text it to us or call up through the Civic Media app if you'd like. We'd love to hear from you, everybody. And why you name your vehicle. Or if you don't, do you think it's silly? We happen to work with somebody who thinks it's kind of a silly idea.
Seth, yep.
Excuse me. I sneezed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering when we were going to lose her. Yeah. Again, looking behind the curtain, everybody, we're having a little trouble with our clean feed that Melissa is able to call in through us from. So I am just going to go ahead and try to reset that and get her connected while I am talking to all of you. We're going to see how that goes. As we're doing that.
Whoa, hi.
Hey, there she is. All right.
It said you went away.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what happened there. That's never happened with this service before, but you're back. That's what matters.
Okay.
Good to have you back.
It was Seth.
Yep.
Since I was bad-mouthing him, he was, you know.
I think this time it was the topic. I think it might have been, or a little column A, little column B. I don't know.
Or the board is just mad that you haven't named it yet.
Oh, that's maybe, you're right. I haven't thought of that. All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? We got to get on that. Because all I'm thinking of is boardy. And that's really not good. Does your car have a nickname? A third of Americans have nicknamed their car, according to a new survey. A third of us.
Okay.
The poll asked people what their car's name is, and the full list is pretty random, but most of the answers fit into one of these three categories. One, pop culture names, like the Batmobile, Love Bug, Millennium Falcon.
There we go.
I like that. If I had a big vehicle, I think I'd name it the Millennium Falcon. I think I'd name
it that. You got to do it with the small one.
Smaller
the better.
Yeah, now I see what you mean. Yeah. Strong names, like Beast. Or Silver Bullet, or Hank. No, I don't know. I threw that last one in there. it's like the name Hank. Or actually,
a strong name.
Going off of where you're going with it, like a bug, you name Hank or something. Just a little, vehicle.
Yeah.
And self-deprecating names like Turtle or Slug or similar things like that. Where maybe you got an old reliable. I like that one.
For your junker?
Yeah. Why did I almost say that's so bad? I almost said Seth. That's because Seth's very reliable, and I just saw him. That's only because of that.
You tell yourself that.
A separate poll last year found the top things we consider when naming our car are its personality and the make and model and how it performs. The new poll took it one step beyond personality. 1 in 8 Americans said that they think that their car actually has feelings. I don't think I could go that far. I don't think I could go that far with it. I have a complete understanding that this is a mechanical thing. It's not. I kind of reserve that for things that are, you know, have a heartbeat. And that's just me. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that that's just the way my brain works.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could see it now just because we have so many computer systems in our cars that if, you know, you want to have a view of computers having some kind of, I don't know. There's a line there of, do they have feelings? Because when I insult it, it stops working.
Right. No, that's okay. There you go. Now there's something to that. There's a thread I'd pull. I get you there. And now maybe you're thinking about this and you're like, well, I just don't have a name. I haven't thought of one. Well, I came across an interesting article from countryliving.com. I encourage you to go check out. Great website there. And they have an interesting one of just random names to kind of get you going here, like Frodo. I don't know. I like Frodo. You're always on a journey with your car.
That's so true.
I mean, Mr. Bean is good. I like that one. Fraggle. Wicket and Jedi, Shake and Bake. I like that. Shake and Bake. Little Miss Muffet. Mr. Potato Head. They're just grabbing pop culture. Like they're just grabbing. They're not really okay. So I really thought that there'd be a little more creativity. Not against it. Just is. They're not really. TARDIS is one. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I Taylor Drift. Nah, not bad. Okay, so that's what I was looking for. Taylor Drift is what I was looking for. There's the names. Yeah, that's. If you always have a hard time finding your car, Beetlejuice. I think that's just off the top of my head. That's I'm just thinking of. Yeah. There's some fun ones. We want to hear what ones you would go with. Everybody, let us know. 715-424-2600 or call up or join us through the Civic Media app.
Indeed, it's free.
I have had this story for, let me see here, 12 days, and I've been dying to get to it and everything, and I sent it to Melissa a little bit earlier today, and I apologize, Mel, I meant to send it to you. Given that it for so long, I meant to send it sooner. But this comes to us from Emerson Lehman, and this is out of WBA. This is a fun one, I think. It's, it takes us to Brilliant, Wisconsin, where inside West Haven Assisted Living over there, Joanna Ebert is a fan favorite. Quote from Joanna, "I love everybody that's here, and they love me." And that love isn't just because of her witty personality or how she's got an amazing smile, by the way. I cannot express enough how much you guys, if you need, especially if you need a palate cleanser out there, go ahead and look up this wonderful lady, Joanna Ebert, out of Brilliant, and her wonderful piano playing. She says, quote, "They say laughter causes you to live longer, and that's my problem," Joanna said. "I laugh so much." At 90 years young, Joanna has found a new purpose inside the walls of West Haven using the talents she picked up as a young kid. Quote, "When I first came here, they played bingo and do exercises. Well, my excuse is I don't understand bingo. That's too difficult for me because I don't do bingo." Joanna said, "Music, music, music. All my life, I just sit at the piano." Note after note, song after song, Joanna's talent echoes throughout the halls all for all to hear. Quote, "God gave me this talent. I don't know how I do it. I can play with my eyes shut. It's just a blessing."
Wow.
And not just for her, but for her neighbors at the assisted living center. She plays for them all the time.
Gets to enjoy hearing her. That's so neat.
There is a lot of family members that come and see other people at the living center, and they will sometimes sing with her. There are breakout concerts that happen all the time. This is an everyday thing. This is a one-woman show for the most part every day that she's just going out there and performing.
Wow.
The whole world's a stage, as they say. And I think one of the arts of a true performer is you put one or you put a billion people in front of them and you're going to get the same show. That's Joanna. That's that's a performer right there. That's an entertainer. That's a wonderful human being that I was one of my favorite new people I've learned of.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I'm not doing her enough justice with her trying to get her quotes in. You got to hear her say this stuff. You got to hear her talk. It's a wonderful article. And again, a shout out to WBA out of Green Bay. If you're looking for the article in particular, it's 90-year-old shares joy by playing piano.
There you go.
It's a wonderful article. I encourage you to check that out. And I gotta get, we gotta get her on Rapids Report. I gotta get her on Rapids Report. I want to meet her. I just want to meet her. I get the interview. That'd be great. But I just selfishly want to meet this person. She's fun. Yeah, she's wonderful.
Play. That's really cool.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. You heard Pitbull. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. They're open for the week, everybody. Treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Enjoy some of that great atmosphere, the wonderful people, and of course, the food.
Absolutely. How about an Americano burrito for breakfast or a grilled ham and cheese breakfast sandwich? That sounds fabulous.
Sounds really good, but I'm all focused on the pies. I'm looking at a chocolate toffee that sounds really good. And they got their Death by Chocolate
back. Death by Chocolate's back on the list, James.
I gotta go. You got this. Melissa, you got this. You'll be fine.
You know, Seth hasn't remotely trained me how to run the board from afar yet, so no.
I'll text you later. We appreciate our friends at El Cafe and a great job as always on their social media by their team over there. I encourage you to check out their Facebook page. It has these specials and more over there. Check it out, everybody.
Yeah. Good food, good atmosphere, good people.
And buy local, support local, help out our good friends that help us out. We appreciate the gang over there. Appreciate you guys getting us these birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. Keep in mind, you can always email them to us, info@WFHR.com. Direct message us on our Facebook pages, whether it's WFHR or WIRI. You can call on up.
That's right, 715-424-2600.
We'd love to hear from you, everybody. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. With Brittany not calling in and not hearing from her, I'm a little worried the phones aren't working, to be honest with you. So, But we will go ahead and keep moving forward, and I will check them again. I tried them right before we went on air, and they seemed to be working. So,
well, you know, and she's at EAA, so yeah, it's possible she might not, that the lines might be busy down there. Who knows?
Very understandable. Very understandable. We do wish her a good morning. And we love getting your birthdays and anniversaries. Get them to us, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
I need a one or a two, Melissa.
How about one?
Okay, gives us that qualifier. We can get right into it. And first up, we got a local birthday we want to celebrate. Our very own here at WFHR and WIRI, Beth Ron Habhager.
Yes, happy birthday, Beth.
Beth is amazing. Beth is wonderful. I've enjoyed working with Beth, whether it's on the radio here or on the WRCT stage. She has put so much into this community in such a short time, her and that family of theirs. They've definitely made their mark around here already. And I hope for the audience that you guys have gotten to know Beth a little bit off air, or a little in some, a lot funnier than we get. I get a chance to really take advantage of on the air here sometimes. It's a lot funnier, a great sense of humor. And we're hoping you have a great day, Beth. Enjoy your day.
Yes, indeed.
And we take a look at our rest of our list. We wish a happy birthday to Les Ross.
Happy birthday, Les.
Enjoy the day, sir. Hope it's a good one for you. And our qualifiers, some other friends of the station here. A happy anniversary to Gary and Heather Sayers.
Oh, happy anniversary, Gary and Heather.
Yeah, I hope you guys have a great one. You're our qualifiers. Congratulations. Our audience is very familiar with Heather.
Still hear her voice every now and then on some of our old commercials.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And, of course, you've seen her recently on the WRCT stage in Noises Off.
She was my daddy.
I have told her this, so I'm not saying anything out of school here. That's the best I've seen her on that stage. I mean, she really, really let it all out there. Did a great job. And it's Gary's fabulous. Awesome. Gary's a great guy. Enjoy your day, you two. And you're our qualifiers. We encourage you to brag to everybody that you're our qualifiers.
Awesome. And before we go on to the celebrities, I have to mention it is also my dad's birthday today. Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, sir. I hope it's a good one for you. Enjoy your day. That's a good. Thank you for getting that in there, Melissa. Yeah, that's awesome. We take a look at who they share their birthday with, celebrity-wise. Selena Gomez is 33.
I don't mean that in any way, just she's been around a long time.
No, and here for me, I'm so late to her career that I feel like that I'm not sure if that's young or old for her. I immediately think she's got so much ahead of her career-wise. And I think the world of her. I didn't see her as a Disney star. I don't know her music, really. But as an actor, I've seen her in Only Murders in the Building, and since then I've seen her in other movies and stuff. And there's very few people that are a bigger influence to me than Steve Martin or Martin Short. And there's very few actors or comedians that I've seen literally every single thing they've done. I cannot tell you how much I think of them. And that young lady blows them off the stage all the time. She's that kind of talented. And she just rolls with those two so well. The three of them have become such a close-knit friends. It's really interesting to see, I think. And it just shows me and tells me a lot about her, I feel like. Don't know her, but one of those people would kill to work with. Just love to work with. I can't imagine how much fun and how great it is to work with somebody like her. She's very talented. And at 33, I feel like I don't even know if she's peaked yet as an actor.
I'm sure she hasn't. She's got a lot of more options ahead of her.
AJ Cook is 47. All of you Criminal Minds fans out there, you remember her as JJ on there. Love that show. God, I love Criminal Minds. Good show. Let's see. Colin Ferguson is 53. He was Sheriff Jack Carter on the wonderfully underrated sci-fi show Eureka. But he was also the I think still the Maytag repair guy. That's where a lot of people might know him from that.
Oh, and he's been in a lot of other like kind of B horror films as well.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He's a handsome man.
Yes, he's one of those guys that has, I think, slipped through the cracks on casting directors, because he should be a lot more well known. He's very talented. That show Eureka was criminally underwatched, and a very fun concept, very fun idea. Early Sci-Fi Network, where they had a bigger budget than they knew what to do with in some ways, and he was fantastic on that show with a lot of other great actors too. I got a little distracted, Melissa. When I was young, the thing that kept me in football was being able to be a return guy. I kicked and punt returned. It was one of my favorite things to do in sports, and in part because I grew up watching a lot of great returners. The first one I could remember maybe is Tim Brown, who is 59 today, retired Oakland Raiders wide receiver, and of course kick and punt returner, one of the greats of all time. Shawn Michaels is 60, the Heartbreak Kid, former WWE, WWF, however you want to say it, star and a champion. David Spade is 61.
Ooh.
Yeah, David Spade. Obviously, one half of one of the greatest comedy tandems of all time, with Chris Farley and David Spade. Even though they were never really looked at as a tandem, going back and looking now, I think you can, whether you're talking about some of the sketches at SNL that Spade wrote specifically for Farley, or Adam Sandler would write specifically for Spade and Farley because of their chemistry, and then obviously the movies they did together. I can only think of, they would have done so many more, I think, together too. On his own, when Farley passes, once the kind of dust settles, a lot of people are wondering, well, what happens with David Spade? Where does he go? Because he was in an obviously tough emotional place. And also trying to keep a career going, where there was a lot of people that said that David Spade had a career in part because of Chris Farley. Now, I never thought that. I never would have thought that, but we have proof now that that wasn't the case. Joe Dirt, and Just Shoot Me, had a great recurring role on there. He's made a career and a name for himself outside of that.
I loved his voiceover work on The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh yeah, see, I always
he
forget
was
about
the
that.
Llama. Yeah. It was so good. I love that movie.
It's really cool to see at 61 where his career is gone. He does a really, really popular podcast with Dana Carvey now. And that's cool. It's cool to see, I think. David Spade, that's 61 today. One of my all-time favorite people, actors, comedians, stand-ups, John Leguizamo, 65 for him today. Great character actor. You've seen him in a lot of movies, from John Wick to a bunch of others. But he is maybe most popular for being Sid the Sloth in the Ice Age movies.
He's good too. I like him a lot.
William Dafoe is 70.
What?
Wow. William Dafoe is 70. The Green Goblin in the Spider-Man movies, Sergeant Ellis in Platoon. If you've seen William Dafoe once, you will always remember him.
He plays such a good bad guy.
I love seeing him do comedy. He is so darn funny, and he is so got great comedic timing. Going back to Mean Streets, going back to Martin Scorsese kind of discovering him or giving him a lot of big breaks way back in the early days and stuff of his career, there was a lot of people that felt like his face, it just wouldn't work. He was not going to get a lot of roles, and the roles he would get were always be villains. So I don't know if he sat there and decided this or not, but with that knowledge decided, I'm going to be one of the greatest villains of all time. And
he was.
Along with just being a complete actor. And at 69, 70, still pushing himself, one of his most recent, I think his most recent movie, he plays a retiring thief who, the one last score. And he breaks into an apartment and gets locked in there for like a week or a weekend or something like that.
Is that Inside?
Yeah. And it's just him. It's just it's an acting tour de force. It's just incredible. He's something.
He was also in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Which is in 2024, and then it looks like The Legend of Ochi.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In 2025,
Boondock Saints is another one.
Work. It's live action.
Okay, yeah. He's something. Yeah. Don Henley is 78, lead singer and drummer for the Eagles, along with many, many solo hits. The great Albert Brooks is 78, comedic genius. God, Albert Brooks is great. I don't know, young people out there, you might not know him, but man, look him up. He is amazing.
You'd recognize him if you looked him up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Danny Glover is 79. Getting too old for this. Danny Glover, Lethal Weapon movies, of course, and plenty of other great ones. Grand Canyon. You want to see Danny Glover's greatest acting, I think, other than The Color Purple, probably. There's a great movie, Grand Canyon. Kevin Kline, all-star cast. Wonderful movie. Wonderful movie. He's fantastic.
So many good movies he was in.
Yeah. The King of Funk, George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic's own, 84 years old. One of my favorite musicians of all time. God, I love him. Flashlight, Atomic Dog, Give Up the Funk. Funk music is not where it is today without George Clinton. And if you are a fan of rap or hip hop, it is not where it is without George Clinton. Terrence Stamp is 87, wonderful character actor. And then some people no longer with us, like Bob Dole. World War II hero, retired U.S. senator and congressman from Kansas. Regardless of where you fall politically, Bob Dole was a true American and gave everything he could to this country. Along with all that, incredibly funny. Like, Bob Dole showed up, I didn't know much about him other than him as a politician and as a soldier, but he showed up on Saturday Night Live and was very self-deprecating and actually pretty darn funny, I thought. I really admire that when politicians do that. I think that that earns them a lot more than votes, you know. And maybe the greatest game show host of all time, Alex Trebek, born on this day in 1940, passed away just in 2022. There's a lot of great game show hosts, you know, throughout history. But I feel pretty confident saying at least for our generation, the best to ever do it was Alex Trebek.
Yeah, I mean, he was the face of Jeopardy for a long time.
It's a lot of good ones. Nothing against Pat Sajak or any of those guys or anything, Monty Hall, any of the greats, but I just for my money, I never saw somebody who looked more like, yep, this is what he was born to do. Yeah, Alex Trebek was very talented, could do a lot of different things, but as far as being a game show host, nobody made it look more comfortable, natural, or back and forth. The wonderful, that's the thing. Like I love learning. So Jeopardy to me wasn't about trying to get the questions right. I just wanted to know what the answer was.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what kept me coming back to it was the back and forth that Alex Trebek would do, the improv that he would have in those moments with these people, and just how I thought he was very funny. I thought he was very talented. Happy birthdays, anniversaries to everybody out there celebrating. Happy birthday, Beth. Enjoy your day.
Yeah, happy birthday, Dad.
And we wish you a great one. And we're going to be here back at this tomorrow. Join us again for another El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club tomorrow, everybody. And we'll be back after our news and sports and entertainment break here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around.
Melissa and James hanging out with you on a summer morning. Hope you all are having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We're just going to rip the Band-Aid off on this one, Melissa. We're going to go right in.
Okay. All right.
Let's all be honest with each other. This is a safe place. What's the last word you Googled to pronounce or know that you were spelling correctly? I think for me it was condolences or something along those lines. I know there was one. I know I just can't think of it right now, but I know I've done that recently. I'll be honest.
Yeah, and sometimes I use words and I'm like, am I using that correctly? So I just look it up to, you know, check the definition and to make sure I'm spelling it correctly.
I hear you. Well, maybe it's a proper name you've seen in the news, an uncommon word that you hear rarely spoken, or something along those lines. Analysts looked at Google search data from the past 12 months to find which words drew the highest number of pronunciation inquiries that included things like, how do you pronounce blank, or pronunciation of blank, and so on.
I remembered the last word I looked up. Okay, it was alacrity.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah. I'd have a hard time saying that. Let alone spelling it. I don't blame you there. Yeah. Let's see. They used the results from a list of 10 words that are tough to get right. So okay. I think one of the things that I want people to think of with this article and with this topic is, to me, the fun side stories of things. And I think you're going to find that there's so many words here that we have in common with people all over the country.
And because English is hard.
Yes. And regardless of where you fall politically or what sports team you root for, you and your fellow strangers, Americans out there, all mispronounce croissant, or misspell it at least.
Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't even want to try to spell it.
Yeah. In French, it's croissant. In English, yeah. It's pronounced croissant.
With the T.
Yeah. Well, in a sant. Like the sant, you got to get in there. Croissant. Is the, I feel
can
like
I have that on a croissant, please?
I feel like I've always said croissant. I don't know.
I like saying croissant.
Oh, that
and
is
just like over pronouncing it, just because, you know, just be silly. But
how about acai? Acai.
Yes, I hate that word. I always say it wrong.
Yeah, that's definitely one for me. Definitely.
It's four letters.
Shouldn't be that hard.
And it shouldn't be that hard, but no. You got to say each one of them.
It's one of those words that where I immediately become a thesaurus. And I'm like, okay, what other word can I use for that one? So I don't have to try to pronounce that one or try to say it.
It's a kind of fruit. There isn't any other word.
No. You're stuck every time with that one. It's like trying to rhyme orange. It just doesn't happen. Schedule. Maybe people were just confused by the Great British Bake Off or something. I don't know. Or listening or watching a lot of BBC. Because in England, and anytime you're watching anything in proper English, it's schedule.
Yes.
Which I will say, as somebody who has played a lot of English characters and done a lot of English in that, that's probably the word that I've had the hardest time getting down. I can get a lot of different British accents down, and there's not many times that I have a difficulty with them. You can find yourself just kind of rolling with it, really. But schedule, right there. Had a hard time with it right there. Couldn't get it.
Schedule.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's never one I've had trouble spelling.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I meant to come back to that. This list is also, I think, fun when you think about it trying to spell it, because I think that's another reason why we throw words into Google or into our searcher engines and stuff.
Yeah, because I do both. How to pronounce, how to spell.
100%. I may be the world's worst speller. If you put me into a spelling bee with fifth graders, laughter will ensue. It will be one of the funniest. It just straight up, not even trying to be funny, just doing an actual competition where I'm up there competing with fifth graders is going to be one of the funniest things anybody ever sees in their life. That would be. And it would build those kids' confidence through the roof.
There you go.
Porsche shows up next on the list. Porsche. Is how it's supposed to be pronounced, with two syllables, not Porsche, as I just did.
Which is how I think most people in the States say it, a Porsche, instead of Porsche. Porsche sounds like a girl's name.
I feel like you've got to be able to afford one to really care. Because I know I'm reading this and I understand this, and I'm not trying to insult the car or anything like that.
No,
but
or the maker.
This is probably the last time I'll ever say Porsche. I'm just being honest. I'll probably never say it again. Even if I owned one, which that's never going to happen. I don't. Because even if I could afford a car like that, I wouldn't
buy
a Porsche.
That's not what you'd spend your money on.
Jaguar.
No. If somebody gave you one, you're not going to say no.
No, not going to turn it down if they're listening out there. I will promote your Porsche. Porsche. I will even pronounce it correctly. I'll give you that. Okay. I love the idea of one of the most famous car brands in the world decides to have me advertise for it.
he went out of his way to pronounce it correctly. Let's give him one.
A completely different advertising. I'd be cheap. I'll tell you that. I'd be cheap. I'd just give me a car. I mean, you know. Genre.
Genre. Oh, yes.
It's pronounced with two syllables. Genre or genre. So genre. Genre. You pronounce it. Genre. Not like I just did. Genre. Like where you just... Which is...
Genre?
Yeah. So is it about speed with our speech? We're trying to get these words out there faster, so we're not taking the time. Because English is... It's so much longer. It feels
you gotta
like.
You got to put the emphasis on the correct syllable.
Nice. Wow. Jeez. And just add that to list of words I'm going to be Googling later.
Emphasis on the correct syllable.
Right.
If you don't do it that, if you don't do it right, then yeah, it doesn't. I mean, that happens a lot for me, I think, with words that I just have read and never have heard said out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I, when I try to pronounce and names, a lot of times, especially in like fantasy books or sci-fi books, where they're making names up, it's like, okay, well, how did the author want this to be said? I'm just going to say it this way.
I think I spent as much time reading the whole series of The Lord of the Rings as I did looking up how to say those names or how to, yeah. Gyroscope.
Oh.
It's broken down actually into three syllables. Gyroscope.
Gyroscope.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I think I've always said it gyroscope.
Yeah.
With like an O in the middle.
Interesting. I think maybe the most universal, as far as America goes, what it got to be a top five most universal words that we're missaying and we're misspelling, Worcestershire.
Yeah.
The most accepted pronunciation in American English is Worcestershire. The key is to drop the R and soften the C. So Worcestershire. I can't do it. Worcestershire.
I think I've always said Worcestershire.
Worcestershire. Worcestershire. Yeah.
Worcestershire sauce.
I'll have a little of that Worcestershire. You know what? Just give me the steak.
I don't, but actually, it's a really, really good flavor.
It is, yeah.
Sauce to use in more things than just steak. It's great in soups.
And
especially that have a like a beef base.
I've never heard.
It just kicks up the flavor
so much. I'm trying that. Yeah. I've never heard of that. That's
next
awesome.
Next time you make a beef stew, add some Worcestershire.
That's I got to try that.
Just don't try to say sauce after you say
right,
Worcestershire.
Yes. I with that, I can make a bottle last forever because I don't need a lot. I don't know
no,
about.
You don't.
I love that about it. Mm-hmm. It packs so much in just a bit of it. It is a really good sauce.
And actually, I've been adding a little bit of it to some of the Asian dishes that I've been making in case I need, because it's an umami flavor. So that adds just another flavor profile to
now, Melissa,
what you're making.
Mm-hmm. I know what that word means, but just for the audience's sake, namani, what is it?
Umami.
Umami, what does that mean?
Umami. So that's another flavor profile because you have sweet, salt. I'm not going to be able to name them all.
Sure, but okay.
Umami is one of those within that flavor profile. It's think mushrooms or it's like a savory, but not salt.
Feels like it would also be a good song lyric. Like umami, umami, umami. Entrepreneur. Entrepreneur is that. It's pronounced entrepreneur. Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur.
No. Entrepreneur. Preneur. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm already done.
I did learn how to spell it when I was in taking college courses for my business management degree, because I was in a class where we had to spell it regularly.
Mm.
So, yeah, I did get there. But
okay, right on.
It's kind of a dumb word.
Even if you, so like with schedule and entrepreneur and words like that, I will say them and I'm probably not saying them correctly, but in my head, I am. I'm not doing this the right way. It needs to be opposite of that, if anything. But I know in my head, I can't help myself.
Well, yeah, but anyway, you like if you said entrepreneur, like you didn't know what you mean.
Yeah. Hierarchy
is how I've always said.
Yeah, there you go.
Hierarchy.
Yeah, which is a fun word to say.
It is kind of fun. It's easy to get your tongue a little bit of exercise saying that word.
It's no Sheboygan, but it's a fun one. It's a fun one to say. I bring up that wonderful city. Obviously, longtime listeners know I love just saying Sheboygan. But I think as far as the state goes, the most universal, I think in America, the most universal word that we mispronounce or we have a hard time spelling may be Massachusetts.
Yeah.
In part because we all got to learn the states and we all have to, you know, so I think it's a common one. It's probably the most common one on here. Just looking at it that way, that we all go to grade school, learn our states. So we've got to learn how to say it. And it's pronounced Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
It sits at the end there. That sits I never get. Massachusetts, or UMass. A lot of my college friends out there will know UMass. Just say UMass. That's what I'll go to. You hear me do that, you know why, everybody.
The spelling of it is probably harder for me than saying it. I don't know that I spell that word correctly. All of us can spell Mississippi.
Yep.
And it's one of the longer names of a state in our country.
I think football for me being able to spell Mississippi, because you couldn't sack the quarterback until you spelled Mississippi. You had to wait. You had to give it. Yep, that was one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Yep. That or just spelling the word. Yep. You can go to mentalfloss.com to find this complete list, everybody. And, of course, always share with us the words that you have a tough time with. We'll have some fun with this. We'll keep this thing going.
And I did have to look up umami, which is spelled U-M-A-M-I, and it is one of the five basic tastes, along with sweet, sour, salty, and bitter. It's often described as savory or meaty.
Right on. I love learning new words. Awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Add it to the list of words that I mispronounce and missay. We will come back and have some more fun on the morning show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Can't help but hear this song and be brought back to being a kid chasing my dad around. Summer Breeze playing us in, everyone. Melissa and James here with you. Going to take it to the top of the hour. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock with not only CBS News and our local news from Melissa, but we'll get into some entertainment news and have some more fun in the 10 o'clock. Looking forward to it. I do want to send a shout out to our team out there. Out there having some fun. I just am pulling up the pictures right now. They look great out there. Yeah,
Beth and Aaliyah are out on at the Ridges Golf Course for the Chamber Golf Outing today.
Hope they're having fun. Big thank you to them for doing that, representing. We appreciate them. Appreciate the Chamber having us.
And partnering with Phil from Quality Plus Printing.
Phil, let me double check. I feel like I know that. No, of course. We know Phil. We love Phil.
Phil Hartley's a great guy.
Phil actually will be joining us, Seth and I, on tomorrow's Sunrise Show at 8 o'clock, top of the 8 o'clock hour, with our Wicked Awesome Word Wednesday. We're looking forward to that.
Wicked Awesome.
And a big shout out to Phil and the gang over Quality Plus and Wham Incorporated, and of course our great team over there. We got some really, really great people working here and over there representing. I hope they're having fun.
Yeah.
Looks like the weather's cooperating, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little overcast, but it's a nice day.
It's the temperature, it seems like. Yeah.
Perfect.
So there are foods that are so divisive that you either love or hate them. There is no in between. Guinness can be one of those things when it comes to drinking, you know, when it comes to alcohol or just beverages, if you will. But ice cream is not so much. Ice cream is pretty universal. I don't know the
most
last
people like ice cream.
Yeah. Well, teaming these two together, I don't know what happens. Worlds collide, Melissa. Guinness has teamed up with Van Leeuwen Ice Cream to create the Guinness flavored ice cream with chocolate chunks. It is a limited edition flavor, so if you're interested, you got to get one now. It's available at select Van Leeuwen scoop shops and online through their website for $12 while supplies last. The pints are called Lovely Day for a Guinness. Great. That's a good name. It was inspired by an old Guinness ad from the 1950s.
Oh, I love it.
If you're able to score one, you should try dropping a scoop into a tall glass, then pouring cold Guinness on top of it to create a beer ice cream float, if you like.
That actually sounds really good.
It doesn't sound bad. If I'm in the mood for it, I have no problem with a Guinness. I've been around,
I love dark beer.
I just got to be in the mood for it. That's all. I mean, especially going back to what you said earlier, somebody gives me a free one, I'm not going to turn it down. But
the only caveat to that is if you're not in any way, like if you're full, like you've just had a full meal, you can't drink a Guinness.
No, that's a tough one.
You almost have to have like a light beer. Ooh.
Yeah. I would try this.
Because Guinness is almost like a meal. I mean, dark beers are filling.
They're filling. Yeah.
They're heavier. But yeah, as an ice cream That sounds, I would try that. Not for $12.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not doing
it. And I'm not going to buy it online to have it shipped to me. That seems weird.
Yeah, I've never ordered ice cream online. I don't know about that one.
I've never ordered anything that needs refrigeration or freezing to be delivered to me.
I was talking about this with Terry. I've been trying to find a bubblegum ice cream, and I found one online, and I was so close to ordering, and I'm like, I can't, I don't know.
You'll just have to drive up to Abbotsford and go to Hawkeye Dairy and get the bubblegum ice cream from there.
Road trip. Jeez, I'd take any kind of road trip right now. I feel like I haven't done anything with my summer. I feel like the kid getting ready to
slipping
go back to school.
Away from you,
yes,
James.
Yes,
you're having some serious FOMO over there.
I feel it in my bones. Absolutely. And I would not only try this, but I think that they had me with the chocolate chunks part. That part I think really sold it.
Well, and one of the really there's this Irish pub that I used to go to in La Crosse, where they would, I think it's called Dublin Pub, and they would have these different Guinness drinks that you could get, and it was like one of my favorites was, it's like half Guinness and half root beer.
Ooh.
Because it adds a little bit of sweetness to the darker beer, takes away the bitter, but when you're talking about putting ice cream in Guinness, that's immediately what I thought of. It's like a root beer float. I think that would be fabulous.
I think we might just have to try this. We might have to see if we got this in the budget.
Are we taste testing beer in the morning show, James? I don't know if that's allowed.
We would never do that. We'll figure that out in the break. We'll be back with more show.
So, Chuck.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media.